Chapter 14 in its entirety is a very famous chapter to establish the supremacy of Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, over all other forms of Godhead and over the forms of Brahman Shiva, who is supreme, and how Krishna Vrindavan is the supreme expression of the Aishwarya or opulence of Bhagavan, and Krishna Vrindavan is the supreme expression of the sweetness of Bhagavan. So the supreme expression of Madhurya Mayi Bhagavan is Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Madhurya Purushottam, and the supreme expression of Aishwarya Mayi Bhagavan is also Sri Krishna. So therefore, in both primary accounts, in terms of Aishwarya and Madhurya, in terms of Ras, in terms of Vibhuti, in terms of Guna, qualities, Krishna is supreme. As you know from Nectar Devotion, it explains that the other forms of Bhagavan, they have 93% of the qualities of God, 60 qualities of 64. Krishna has 64 qualities. So 60 over 64 is 93%. And Brahma and Shiva, they have 84%. They can have 55. And we little people can have a touch of 50 qualities. Or at least we try to get one or two. 50 qualities become 78. We're 78%ers. It's enough to get a passing grade. Right? Just do that much. Dance and pass. So in this chapter, which is wonderful, it's recommended, as we told in the beginning of the class, is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, this is the, of all the chapters of the Bhagavad Puran, which is our Amalagyanam, it's our Paramahamsa Samhitam, it is the supreme log book for all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the worshippers of the neem bark. They hold the Garga Samhita and Sanat Kumara Samhita very dear to their tradition. And of course they have great regard for the Bhagavatam. But for us it's Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam. And of course Bhagavad Gita is already understood. All Vaishnavas study and worship Bhagavad Gita. When the Bhagavatam, this of the 90 chapters of the Bhagavatam and of the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam and the 18,000 verses, it's a lot of verses, 18,000 verses. About 9,000 of them are in the 10th canto. The other 10,000 are in the other 9 cantos, 11 and 12. So if you were to examine all the 18,000 verses, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did in a very astute and minute way, and anyone will conclude that these 40 verses, there's only 40, so the percentage of these verses in the Bhagavatam is 0.0025 of the total of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Yes. Point. It's not even 1%, it's not even 1/10%, it's 0.0025, it's 2.5 hundredths of a percent, is that right? Am I right? You with me? It's 2.5 hundredths of a percent of the total Bhagavatam. These 40 prayers are a very, very small part of the Bhagavatam. So these 40 verses, which is a very small, small part of the Bhagavatam, they explain more clearly and precisely than any other part of the Bhagavatam that Krishna is Purushottam Sri Krishna. So therefore, in Purushottam month, which is the month to worship Krishna in Vrindavan with his divine, eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, this is the chapter of all chapters at this particular month to study. We are supposed to read the Bhagavatam. So I mentioned, it seems to the general gist of the notes we gave on Purushottam Vrata, which I trust all of you have seen or have. So there it says that the recommended vratas to do are vows, and it says to read Srimad Bhagavatam about Radha and Krishna, it's Leela, which means the chapter of 21 to 35 or so. 21 is Venu Gita, because with between 21 and 25, of course, 38, let's say 21 and 38, because it's Vrindavan Leela. 38 is Akura, this is Viraha Gita, where the gopis are crying in separation, as Akura performs the most terrible heart surgery on the gopis. Usually when you do heart surgery, you fix the heart or replace the old heart with a new heart or do something to make the heart work. But when Akura came to Vrindavan, he took the gopis' hearts and left them heartless, which is pretty heartless itself, because Krishna is the heart of the gopis, and he took Krishna out of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the gopis. There's no Vrindavan without the gopis. Vrindavan means the gopis means Vrindavan. So he took Krishna out of Vrindavan and Balaram, and then the gopis just dropped dead, basically. Didn't change their clothes for 100 years. That's another tragic aspect of meeting and loving Krishna, separation from the one we love. But the gopis experience. So that's chapter 38. That's it. That's the death blow. That's the death knell. That's the end of the Vraja Leela. So I was specifically implying we read about Radha and Krishna's Leelas from the 10th canto, Venu Gita and Pranaya Gita and Gopi Gita and all these wonderful pastimes. But also in those notes, that if you'll see, it says that one should study chapter 14 of the 10th canto of Brahma Stuti. So this year we decided to go through the verses and hear the commentaries of the Acharyas, and especially Srila Prabhupada, and see how we can increase our understanding of Krishna, because our attempt to chant pure name of the Lord, it's an attempt, it's a trial, it's an endeavor, a practice, an abhyas, nam bhajan abhyas, the daily practice of nam bhajan. And Vaishnava Sadachar behavior, there are many elements of the success package. There's many elements that go into the success package of prema, to develop Krishna prema. One is, of course, the primary one is nam bhajan. This is the shrestha sadhana, or mukhya sadhana. The main sadhana for all of us is nam bhajan. More and more chanting of nam, kirtan and japa. But then nam bhajan, we have to add a few more elements to get success. And if any one of these elements is lacking, nam bhajan is not sufficient. So one element is Vaishnav Sadachara, pure behavior. Rupa Goswami is mentioning this element. These two elements are mentioned, Upadeshamrita, which Rupa Goswami gave us as a summary of the entire teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Upadesh means instructions. And amrit means nectar, the essence. When you cook milk, then you get thicker milk, condensed milk, and you keep cooking, you get the final product, and you can't go any further. You get burfi. As burfi is the essence of milk, this Brahma Stuti is the essence of all verses describing Krishna as Purushottam. Yes, we have Aishwarya Purushottam in Vaikuntha, Narayan. Yes, we have Maryada Purushottam in Ayodhya. But there's only one Supreme Purushottam. We've come to verse 8, which is a famous verse. They're all famous. This chapter is very famous. We're talking about attaining perfection of prema. Dharmar kam moksh. For us, it's prema. Prema pamartha mahan. To attain Krishna prema, some different elements are required. One is nam bhajan, one is Vaishnava sadachar. We need to behave very nicely. Rupa Goswami describes this. Tadati pratigrinati bhunte bhojayate jeva. We must honor the Vaishnavas, and he talks about honoring the Kanishthas and honoring the Madhyams and Uttams. And then he talks about giving gifts in charity and receiving charity and expressing your mind. And this is all about sadachar. It's a verse about behavior. How to behave, think lovingly, act lovingly, reciprocate, give and take. Love is give and take. Reveal your mind. Oh, my dear God brother, I'm feeling some distress, trouble. Oh yes, what is it? And help each other. Help each other out of Maya and remind each other of Krishna. These are loving expressions. One devotee friend to another, one God brother to another. As in a social world, friends help each other. So this is sadachar, nambhajan and sadachar. Two more elements. Sambandha and gyan. which is what we're discussing. So it's a relevant answer in terms of the discussion. Sambandha Gyan means Tattva Gyan, means Siddhanta. What is the Siddhanta? Don't be in bewilderment about the Siddhanta. Tattva Brahm, this is an anartha, Tattva, the truth, the spiritual truth. Brahm means bewilderment, confusion. Well, what is it? I mean, Vishnu's God or Krishna's God, or you can get any sroop, or you have a sroop, or where do you go, or you know, so many confusions and doubts. This is all these things together, Jiva Tattva, the five tattvas of the Bhagavad Gita, Kala Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Bhagavan Tattva, Prakriti Tattva, and Karma Tattva. These are the five tattvas, Pancha Tattva. So those five subjects, then Prema Tattva, Rasa Tattva, all these truths, this Sambandha Gyan. So what elements? Now we're talking about the essential elements that must come together in our practice of devotional service to qualify ourselves to receive Shuddha Nam. These are the three elements to be more refined. This goes in a two-step process. Prema is there, but these are the three elements that are required. And that the fourth element is mercy, kripa. Bhagavan kripa, Vaishnav kripa, Guru kripa. So we have four elements. All of these elements are required to attain Shuddha Nam. All these elements are required to become qualified. All of these four ingredients or elements or constituents or aspects or practices, whatever you want to call it, they are required to have the requisite qualification to receive Shuddha Nam, which comes from up and down, like rain falls from the sky, it doesn't fall from the earth. Mercy falls, it doesn't rise. It descends into our heart. Avaroha Kripa, the descent of mercy. If we're doing Nam Bhajan, but our behavior is not good, then Krishna will not be pleased. Shuddha Nam is a gift from Krishna, because Shuddha Nam is Radhan Krishna. Shuddha Harinam is Radhan Krishna. So Radhan Krishna don't give themselves to anyone and everyone. There must be high qualification. Not anyone and everyone gets the post of prime minister. Or it must be high qualification. If we're chanting Nam Bhajan and our behavior is good, but our Sambandha Gyan is weak, then our Nam Bhajan will not be very good, and Shuddha Nam will not come. Because invariably, without sufficient Sambandha Gyan or Tattva Gyan, then we'll be making aparad, or be inattentive, or minimize the glories, or have some vague notion of the identity of the holy name. So when these three attributes are within us, then we actually become qualified to receive. The acquirement, when one acquires Sambandha Gyan, the purpose of acquiring Sambandha Gyan is to remove doubts and to increase our faith. Prabhupada has said that if you're having some problem with faith, your faith is weak, then read the Bhagavad Gita. If you read the Bhagavad Gita from cover to cover, your faith will really increase. So this is a specific book recommended, Bhagavad Gita, which is so powerful, faith, such a powerful faith builder. But the basic premise or principle which Prabhupada is establishing by mentioning Bhagavad Gita, which is quite true and correct, is that by studying Shastra, by hearing Shastra, studying Shastra and associating with Shastric or Shastriya devotees that know Shastra, then our faith will increase. By studying Bhagavatam, by studying Nectar Devotion, by studying, our faith will increase. By associating with devotees speaking the Shastra. If we associate with devotees that speak Grami Gata, that doesn't do much for our faith, or village talks, or whatever. So now that's what point? This is Sambandha Gyan. That the urgency and necessity of Sambandha Gyan, because to chant Shuddha Nam, we must become pure. misconceptions, doubts, they are contaminations of the consciousness and mind. So the shuddha nam cannot descend into a contaminated place. Before Krishna came and appeared, descended into the womb of Devaki, first Balaram went there and created the kshetra, the dham. This is in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, you can read. First, the Sandini Shakti must enter one's heart. So Shastra establishes Sandini Shakti in the heart. The field for the appearance of the Lord. Sandini means existence. You have to repair the field before you can plant the mango tree. You have to take out all the bumps and mountains and flatten the field, remove all the rocks and boulders, then add fertilizer and lots of cow dung and make the ground smooth, and then you till the ground, turn it over, make it soft, then you can plant the seeds of the mango tree. And with proper water and care, you'll eventually get trees and then mangoes. So the preparing the field of the heart requires the Akhanda Guru Tattva, requires the infusion of Shastra Gyan. Balaram is Akhanda Guru Tattva, and Balaram is a Sandini Shakti. He establishes, prepares the field of the heart for the appearance of Krishna. First, we see in the story of Devaki in Mathura that she gave birth to 6 sons. So first, we have to do the hard work, the hard work or homework of Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha. All these 6 sons have to be out, the sons of Kalanemi. And that's, of course, only by mercy and by Nambaja. And then Balaram comes and prepares. Then Krishna comes next. 7th child of Devaki was Balaram, and an 8th child was Krishna. This is what we're trying to do. The Shuddhanam is the appearance of Krishna in the heart. The descent of Radha and Krishna in the heart is a Janmashtami. When Shuddhanam enters the heart, that's our, and everyone will have a Janmashtami, Utsav. Have you celebrated Janmashtami? No. I would like to. I'm making the preparations. It's a very elaborate preparation. I've been preparing for 35 years. It's a very big yajna to have Janmashtami. It takes a lot of preparation. So much Nambhajan, so much Vaishnav Sarachar, so much Sambandha Gyan. And then what is the 4th point? Kripa. So if we have all these 4 elements are very actively developed within our character, within our life, then Radha and Krishna will descend in our heart. But before they descend in our heart, Balaram has to enter our heart. So how does Balaram enter our heart? Balaram appears in the heart when you take Diksha. Or before, if you accept Guru in your heart, that's the beginning. In 1922, Prabhupada accepted his Guru in his heart. He was initiated 11 years later. That on our own, without Guru, can we do Nambhajan? Yes. Can I chant Hare Krishna without Guru? I mean, there's different levels, but can I chant Hare Krishna without Guru? Yes. Everyone does it. Can I study the Shastras and read Prabhupada's books without Guru? Yes. I mean, understanding, okay, that's all fine points. But in line, keep in line, I'm talking about what we're talking. Can we act like a Vaishnava and serve living entities and serve Vaishnavas and give donations at temples and print their calendars and help them on their Janmashtamis? Can we serve Vaishnavas?
Yes.
Yes. So we can do all these things, yes? We can do Nam Bhajan and Vaishnav Seva and Sarachar. Vaishnav Sarachar and Sambandha Gyan, develop Sambandha Gyan without Guru. That's to some extent, and that's what being a bhakta is all about. But will Krishna come into our heart by those things alone? No. So now, the road to Krishna Prema and the road to qualifying for Shudanam, the fourth requirement is mercy. Can we do mercy on our own? No. So this is the Kripa aspect. Guru Kripa, Krishna Kripa. So if Balaram does not come, will Krishna come?
No.
No. Without a field, can you grow a tree?
No.
Krishna is the tree of prema. So Balaram came to prepare the field. What do you use a plow for? You use a plow to prepare the field. Hal. The plow cuts the soil, turns it over, makes it soft. Prepares the soil so you can plant the seed. Keshavadrita haladara rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare srita kamala kucha mandala he srita kamala kucha mandala he jita mandala he jita mandala. The Arisa, they sing this song so beautifully. Every night for Lord Jagannath, before he takes rest. When we surrender to Guru and take Diksha, then we have received a drop of Bhagavan Kripa and a drop of Guru Kripa. Balaram puts one foot in our heart. Balaram steps into our heart. Now the preparation begins. Balaram is walking back and forth across the fields of our heart, behind the bull, pulling his plow this way, that way, cultivating, preparing the heart. Now we're getting ready to receive the appearance of Krishna in our heart. Yeah. Now we're preparing for the descent of Radha and Krishna into our heart in the form of Shudanam. Because we're doing Nam Bhajan with the infusion and mixture of Sambandha Gyan and behaving properly according to the Shastras and teachings of the Acharyas, Vaishnav Sadachar. Are showing mercy to all the living entities by preaching and helping them come to Krishna and distributing prasad. And we are serving the Vaishnavas with great devotion and great humility and great attachment and studying. And we're under the shelter of Guru, and as we surrender and serve him diligently and enthusiastically, we're receiving mercy. More and more mercy. And then eventually, Krishna appears in the heart, Krishna Darsha, in the form of Shudanam. Our chanting becomes pure, imbued with the presence of Radha and Krishna. So when Krishna appears in Boma Vrindavan, he doesn't appear in Kaisha Rup. He appears as a baby, and he grows. Bali Leela, Poganda Leela, then Kaishora Leela. In Nityadam Vrindavan, he's Naval Kishore, Nitya Kishore. There's no birth, Janam Leela there in Golok Vrindavan. There's no growing. He has different parakashtas, different compartments of Vrindavan. He's eternally Gopal, and he's eternally Poganda, and eternally Balya. But his eternal Rup is 15 years, 9 months, and 7 and a half days. Nitya Kishore. These are the specialities of Krishna's leelas and pastimes in the material world. They're eternal leelas, but they're going on in different universes. He's eternally taking birth, growing up, leaving Vrindavan, going to Dwarka, going to Mathura, killing demons. These are some specialities, Jiva Goswami explains, only in Boma Vrindavan. Is this clear? Yes? Yes. But in the spiritual world, he's not leaving Vrindavan, and he's not killing any demons. There's no so-called husbands of Radharani, Abhimanyu. Some rumor, some idea, So in this material world, when Krishna enters the womb of Devaki, because she's become pure, she's attained Vasudeva, Chit. She's attained Vishuddha Sattva, Chitta, pure consciousness. And Krishna enters the womb. Of course, then he appears, but then he grows, and the Bhoma Vrindavan Krishna grows. So when Krishna comes in Shuddhanam, Shuddhanam comes into the heart, and we're chanting. But it just doesn't, Krishna just doesn't start dancing in a Rasa Leela and dancing on our tongue in a Rasa Leela. Prabhupada says, when you chant Krishna's name purely, he dances on the tongue. He's dancing there. So where does Krishna dance? He dances with the gopis in the Rasa Leela. But first he has to grow in the heart. As he grows in the heart, as we chant more and more Shuddha Nam, and Krishna takes over the kingdom of our heart and starts growing more and more, Bali Leela, Boganda Leela, and Kaishor Leela, then our attachment to Krishna, our asakti, because Shuddha Nam comes at the level of asakti and bhava, the threshold, then the bhavas come, the ecstasies come, he grows more and more, then prema, that's like boing, prema. Everything is, there's a gray area. It's when you're at the level of anartha nivritti, when you're level at anartha nivritti, then there is some nishta coming. Otherwise, you can never come to nishta unless you're full of anarthas, but you're getting up every day at 4 o'clock and chanting to 7. And then when we come to the level, rise to the higher level anartha nivritti, then so much nishta is coming. And then nishta and a little bit of ruchi. It's not as, oh, anartha nivritti, boing, open this door, oh, close the door, oh, nishta, steadiness. Oh, and then open another door, ruchi. Little bit, each one is coming through. So when one is chanting Shuddhanam, then some bhavas are coming, and then some experiences as it goes up, more and more Shuddhanam, then prema. So text 8, this is a small side teaching. Hare Krishna. Tateno kampam susamikshyamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapurabhir vidadan namaste jivetyo mukti pade sadaya bhak. This is the main, very important verse for the devotees, because this is the verse that you can say when you get to the end of your rope and you want to let go and you can't hold on anymore and you're slipping on the rope and you're about to fall off the rope, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. This is another explanation of this verse. Life is becoming intolerable. The pressure, the force, the tension, the anxiety caused by our own prarabdha, by our own karmas, it's too much. I can't cope. C-O-P-E. This verse, Lord Brahma is saying, all right, our karmas are pinching us. Our karmas are boiling us. Our karmas are scorching us. Our karmas are stretching us. Our karmas are pulverizing us. Our karmas are beating us. But it's our karmas. They have a phrase in English, a good workman doesn't quarrel with his tools. You're working with a screwdriver and a knife and a, what do you call it, nails and hammers. Hey! And you're working or building something with a hammer, holding it up. You hit, and with your hammer, you're going fast and not paying attention. You hit the hammer on your finger instead of the nail. Ow! Hey, hammer! What is with this? You start arguing, quarreling with the hammer. Why did you hit my thumb? That doesn't make any sense. A good workman doesn't quarrel with his tools. So Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhardev Goswami, he said, a good workman doesn't quarrel with his stools. Very interesting. Because he was a Brahmin, he had a law degree, and a degree in law and philosophy, and was a Brahmin from birth, one of the sannyasis directly from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. A great Prabhupada once said, he was Prabhupada's fast friend, he said that Bhakti Rakshak Sridhardev Goswami is my Shiksha Guru. And you can see in the Lilamrita, if you read the Lilamrita, Prabhupada lived with him Sridhar Maharaj rented an apartment from Prabhupada above his chemical shop in Allahabad, and in Bombay they were together for years, 8 or 9 years. They meet every night and discuss Bhagavatam and Gita. Very tight friends. So let's look at this. Very clever statement. A good workman doesn't quarrel with his tools, because he was speaking this for this interesting phrase, a parody of a common phrase, in relation to this verse, Tapteno Kampam. A good workman means someone who is performing karma. We are engaged in karma, law of action and reaction. Punya karma, punya phal, papa karma, papa phal. Engage in sinful activities, you get sinful fruits, sinful reactions, and we suffer. Engage in pious, and religious, and charitable activities, punya karma, then we get punya phal. We get good fruits, we get janmaishvarya shruti shribhira. We get a very good birth, beautiful body, good intelligence, good family, money, good health, learning, shruta, shri, and bira. This is the results of good karma and bad karma. So, karma, like we're acting, so the good workman doesn't quarrel. So we're all workmen. We're working with our karmas. I have phrases, I'm working, what are you doing these days? I haven't seen you for a few years. I'm working on my karma. I got divorced from my wife last year, and I got fired this year from my job, and I'm working out my karma. I'm taking Art of Living courses, so I'm trying to work out my karma. Living, the art of living. Like we say, Ashwatthama, the elephant, right? So we say, the art of living in the material world. The art of living in the material world. There's a famous course being taught. Because that's all that it's about. Nothing more. So if this is where you want to stay, then it's yours. Keep it, I'm leaving. We teach the art of living here and there. Art of living here and ever after. The art of living here and ever after. There. Here and there. Here in beauty and perfection and charm, and there in eternal beauty, perfection and charm. This is the possibility. This is the prospect that we are presenting to you. So we don't quarrel, you know, we don't quarrel with our stools. I mean, you ate bad food, you ate all stinky dead food, and your stool stinks. Oh, why does my stool stink? Because you ate, because we, you know, if you're a meat eater, your stool smells like dead animals. If you eat onions and garlic, if you eat all tamasic food, your stool is horrible. There's nothing good about any stool. It's not that, hey, my stool is really good. I mean, if you pass it and flush it, I mean, there's nothing remarkable. We're not Rishabhadev from the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. We're not Mahabhagavats. It's described that Maharaj Rishabhadev, he was a Maharaj, he was so sattvic and such a pure devotee of the Lord that his stool smelled like roses. I remember when we read that and heard that from Srila Prabhupada, he said, because the body was vibrating at such a high sattvic, pure vibratory level of Ishuddha Sattva, every aspect of his body was pure. Whatever he contacted just transformed it into fragrance, beautiful fragrance. It's a fact that bodies emit aromas, fragrances. Horses have an aroma, bulls have an aroma, cows have an aroma, women have aroma, men have aroma. And it depends on what you eat. If you eat onions and garlic, what comes out of your body? So therefore, what we eat comes out that way. So we can't quarrel. We shouldn't quarrel with our own byproducts. That's the basic idea. A good workman doesn't quarrel with his own stools. The stools is the byproducts of what we ate. What we ate means our karma. We ate or performed different karma in last life. Oh, I'm suffering. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's God's fault. God's not fair. There's rich people. Why am I ugly? Why am I poor? Oh, God's not fair. He made her beautiful, me ugly. He made him rich, me poor. It's not fair. I'm an Indian. You're Indian. Why? And hey, what are you quarreling with your stools for? This is your stinky stool. You ate stinky food. Now you have a stinky stool. You did stinky bad activities, sinful activities in last life, and now you're paying the price. Very nice. Translation. My dear Lord Krishna, Purushottam, anyone who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering. Now, don't just suffer. Patiently suffer. Because you can suffer and be impatient. Oh, when is the suffering going to end? Hey, all the suffering's nice. What are you doing? I'm suffering, but patiently. Well, that's not easy. The more suffering you want to end immediately. It says patiently suffering. Bunjana. Bunjana means enduring. So, patiently suffering the reactions of its past misdeeds and offering you, my dear Lord, respectful obeisances. Namaste. Namaste. Rid, Vag, Vapur, Bir, Vapu. Vapu, Tanu, Sharir. Vapu, Vapu means Guru Vapu. Guru Vani. Have you heard these terms? Guru Vapu means the body, the form of the Guru. Vapu means the form. Vapu. Vag, Vagish, Vagisha. Vagisha is the name for Saraswati, the goddess of speech. Vag. Sri Bhagavan U Vacha. Rid, Riddhi. Rid Rog Kamam. One who continues, he offers his respectful obeisances to Krishna with his heart, words, and body is certainly eligible for liberation, Mukti Pade, Sadhaya Bhak, because it becomes his rightful claim. We got an inheritance. We have a very wealthy father. Okay, we're suffering our past misdeeds, our present misdeeds. However, we've been adopted. We all have a mother and father, but we've been adopted by a very merciful Lord. We're orphans of our karma. We're karmic orphans. Karmic orphans suffering our karma. And we've been adopted by Krishna. He's our father. Aham bija prada pita. I am the seed-giving father. Sarva yona shakonte amurti asam bhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyo nirm. Aham bija prada pita. All species of life, Krishna's the seed-giving father. So we've been adopted by this very wealthy and compassionate father named Purushottam Sri Krishna. And if you have if your father is not here, then what do you get? You get his estate. You get his inheritance. So Krishna, we all have an inheritance. Dhaya bhak. Dhaya bhak means rightful heir. Dhaya bhak. Bhak. We are going to inherit the kingdom of God. Mukti pade means the place where Mukunda's feet are walking. Mukti pade. Pade means feet. Pada. Krishna pada. Mukti pada. So where his feet are, wherever Krishna's feet are, that's the kingdom of God. Wherever God's feet are, that's the kingdom of God. Mukti pade. So we will inherit the kingdom of God. That is our birthright. I'm born. My last name is Gates. My father's name is Bill. So he's my father. And I'm born into the family. It's my birthright to get a few dollars. And when he dies, oh boy, watch out. So we've been born into a family called Achyuta Gotra. Is that right? Who's our father? Guru. Who's our mother? The Vedas. That the family line is Achyuta Gotra. So he's saying this, hang in there. Don't jump on, like, don't get let the rope, let go of the rope. Ah, boom. Hold on. Sridhar Swami gives this commentary. Just as a legitimate son, all he has to do is stay alive, and he will gain an inheritance from his father. My son, I'm leaving now, so I want to leave you my rickshaw. I mean, that's something. He's not that wealthy, but at least he's leaving his rickshaw to his son. Yes? It's not a very enviable inheritance. Hey, what did you get from your father? I got a rickshaw. Rickshaw. Okay, not bad. Similarly, Sridhara Swami says, if we simply remain alive, Chaitanya, in Krishna consciousness, which is not so easy, because Maya wants to kill us. Prabhupada said, when you become a devotee, means you declare war on Maya. When you're in a war, what does the enemy want to do? Kill you. So we declared war on Maya, so that means bang, bang, boom, rockets, bazookas, machine guns, hand grenades, landmines. The kiss of death. Yes. Prabhupada explains on one tape. In the medieval times in India, when kings were fighting kings, as they always do, some kings would take one young girl. She may be a Dasiputra, which means that the king had a little affair with one of the maidservants and had a daughter. So every day he gives her rice and dal, chapatis, Krishna prasad. He puts a little poison inside. Little tiny bit. Then a little more, a little more, a little more. And then she grows up. And that poison enters into her saliva and becomes part of her. A little bit. So now she's quite 18, 19, quite attractive. So now the king is fighting a very difficult opponent. But there's two weak points of every king. What are they? Money, you have more money or gold and kingdom than me? Okay, attack. So they attack to get the gold or the women or both. That's the history, the whole history of the world is all about that. But he's too invincible. I've attacked him so many times, he defeats me every time. So now, I'll bring out my secret weapon. Dasiputra. Come. It's called Vishakanya. Vishakanya, poison version. Probably you can hear on that folio, you can look it up, it's on the tape. Vishakanya, this is a secret weapon. So it's a war on Maya, so Maya's trying to kill us. So therefore, Prabhupada said, if we can simply remain alive in Krishna consciousness, jivete yo mukti sad pade sadhaya bhak. Jivaita means be alive. Jiva. Jivaita. Yo mukti pade. If you're jivaita, if you stay alive, in what? Well, I'm alive. Well, it doesn't mean you're going to inherit the kingdom of God. You have to be alive in Krishna consciousness. So many people are alive and then they die and they can become a dog. They go to dog head, not God head. They get a dog's head and don't go to God head. Yes? Simply remain alive in Krishna consciousness following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. Rising at 4 o'clock in the morning. Chanting till 7. Automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word sumikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy, he earnestly, eagerly, earnestly, utkantita bhav, utkanta. Oh, Bhagavan, where are you? That's why Prabhupada was the walking personification of utkantita bhav. Utkantita bhav. That feeling, that sentiment of urgency. Kanta, neck, ut, up. Uto, uto, rise, rising neck, extended neck. When the feelings arise in the heart, what's the doorway to the heart? The neck. The neck extends, chin goes up. So Prabhupada, he walked the face of the earth. It's called body language. Language means speaking, communication, teaching. He walked quickly. Because he was feeling urgency. So if you feel the urgency, then you'll walk fast. Prabhupada felt the urgency to advance in Krishna consciousness. He's a pure devotee, but he's acharya, he's teaching by example. See, I'm walking very fast on the beach. I walk twice or thrice at Prabhupada on Venice Beach in Los Angeles. Well, with many others. 1976. He walked very fast. He's 80, we're 24. Couldn't keep up. Because he was really feeling the urgency and trying to teach us. See, I'm walking very fast. Back home, back to Godhead. Follow me back. Walk fast. Come fast, come fast. There's some famous phrase. Come fast, come fast. So Prabhupada walked very fast. So his body, his quickly moving gait, his rapid gait, his walking very quickly across the park, the grassy parks of England, and this park and that park, and Hyde Park, and he'd walk in Hyde Park in England, and so many parks around the world and beaches, everywhere fast, super fast. Because he was, and that, his body language was, his language is walking, his body's walking fast, his body is talking, look, I feel urgency, so I'm moving fast. So you should also feel urgency and move fast on the Bhakti Marg. Why are you going so slow? Why are you dragging your feet? Oh, you know, I've been around for 12 years, I never read Bhagavad Gita. I've been around for 15 years, I never get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. What is this? Why are you dragging? Follow me, see how fast I walk? Keep up with me. So if we didn't walk fast with Prabhupada on the morning walk, where were we? We were left in the sand or in the dust. Couldn't hear his lotus voice. Couldn't see his beautiful glance. Couldn't feel the vibration of his transcendental body because we're 300 miles up behind him. So this is, Prabhupada taught that, didn't he? You've never been on a morning walk, but you must have heard that Prabhupada walked very fast. And you read Shruti Kirti's diary and others, they say, we couldn't keep up with Prabhupada. Sin Lila Murti, he walked so fast. So he taught us we should, don't waste another life. Move quickly on the path of Bhakti Marg. Time is short. Life is short. Any moment we can be our last. Time and tide wait for no man. You can't buy back a moment of time with $1 billion, a billion rupees. Whatever time is gone, it's lost forever. Use every moment wisely. Prabhupada said, there's two things you should do with your time. Either make money or increase your bhakti. Don't do something. Don't just be a bump on the log, as they say. Useless entity. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. It's meant to move. Movement means we're meant to move, right? Krishna conscious movement. So, get moving, as they say in slang, get your blank in gear. Have you ever heard that expression?
Yes.
Get your blank in gear. My dear, don't sit far and don't sit near. Keep moving fast. The coast is clear. Krishna is very, very near.
And dear.
No, he's with his dear. Priyaji. Prabhupada taught this with his body language, walking fast. But not everyone noticed that. Because you can't see that in still pictures of Prabhupada. But in still pictures of Prabhupada, you can see another mudra. Another posture. That I've never seen anywhere in the world with anyone. I've seen and known snobby rich people that they have their noses in the air. Have you ever heard this expression? Oh, she has. I have money. I have beauty. I have fame. You guys are pipsqueaks. You're nothing. Huh. Nose in the air. But Prabhupada had everything in the air. Nose, eyes, mind, everything. In the air, up there, with Krishna. So therefore, his neck was extended. His head was mounted on his body with a 45-degree angle. His head was tilted back. He wasn't looking towards Vaikuntha. You only have to go like this to see Vaikuntha. You have to go like this. You have to really look up to see Goloka Vrindavan. He was a Brijvasi. He is a Brijvasi. Srila Prabhupada ki. He came from the inner circle of Rupa Mandri and Rupa Goswami. And Nayana Mani Mandri is his Guru Sakhi. And Kamala Mandri is Guru Sakhi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Guna Mandri, Gaurakishore, these are his Sakhi, Sanginis. Sakhi, his Sanginis, his associates. He's from there. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. He's Kunja Vihari Das, Kunja Vihari, Kunja Viharini. He's a Kunja Vihari and Kunja Viharini Radha. And Prabhupada is Kunja Viharini Radha, Kunja Viharini's servant, Dasi. So he was saying, now what is he teaching? Everyone can see that in still pictures. Prabhupada's, what? And remarkable. See paintings. I've seen so many portraits of famous people. President Alexander Hamilton, President George Washington, Louis XIV, Julius Caesar, Nehru, Beiru, Cairo. And we've seen so many famous portraits and busts of people, and they try to look robust and famous and intelligent and whatever they think they are. And but whatever they are, I've never seen one like this. Divine personality, transcendental. So what is he teaching with that parent body language? He's teaching that utkantita bhav, extended neck, his heart extended with eagerness, his mind extended with eagerness, intense earnestness and eagerness to see Krishna, to go to the spiritual world. His Prabhupada's two eyes were always on this, in the spiritual world. He's walking amongst us, mercifully, shoulder to shoulder, walking with us on the beach, right next to Prabhupada, shoulder to shoulder. But his eyes were on the lotus feet of Radharani in the spiritual world. He never once took his eyes off Radharani's lotus feet. Because he's always looking out of this world. Prabhupada never looked horizontally. The horizontal plane is the plane of exploitation. The horizontal plane is the plane of man-woman. Ahara nidra maitun bhayam. This is the horizontal plane. Oh, woman, man, money, wealth, position. Horizontal plane is the material world. But when you're looking there, what's up there? Blue sky. All I see is Krishna and Balaram. Balaram is white like a cloud, and Krishna is blue like the sky. And then beyond the sky is the spiritual sky. And beyond the spiritual sky is the Vrindavan sky. The Prabhupada is looking there. So he's teaching us by his posture, by his extended neck and head tilted back, that we should be extremely eager and earnest to advance in Krishna consciousness. We should earnestly await for the mercy of Krishna, even while suffering the painful effects of our previous sinful activities. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam brajam aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ikshami mahasucha. Karma moksha, moksha karma. Moksha karma means you're delivered from your karma. Parabdha karma, bijam, kutam, aparabdha, everything. Shuddha bhakti evaporates the karma. Krishna consciousness dissolves. Prabhupada writes one purport. Krishna, pure Krishna consciousness dissolves the subtle body. The subtle body is carrying the atma from gross body to gross body. And the subtle body is full of our karmic desires. No karma, no body. Akarma. Vikarma. Karma. Akarma means without karma, no karma. Bhakti is akarmic. Bhakti is transcendental. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam is all transcendental. If one is engaged in totally transcendental activities, then he has to go to the transcendental plane. No more material body and mind. So therefore, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness dissolves the subtle body. Subtle body is eternally carrying us from one gross body to another. Because, however, the mind, in his mind, a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality. The Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that sometimes resemble sinful activities, sinful reactions. This is in Vishnu's purport. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. Lord Krishna, therefore, creates a particular situation to eradicate the remaining enjoying spirit, which you may not like, the situation he creates. It may be painful, but it's his mercy to bring you back to Godhead, because he loves you. If he loves someone, you punish them, correct them, chastise them. If you don't love them, do whatever you want, I don't care, go to hell. And you're left to your own ideas and you make the wrong choices and no correction, no chastisement, end up in jail, which means rebirth. Durga's prison house, material world. Lord Sri Krishna, in other words, these two things go together. Although a devotee has surrendered, and he surrenders, performing bhakti, until we're pure devotees, we have an inclination to enjoy, obviously. We have an inclination, and we even do, so forget about inclination, we jump into it hog wild. Yeah, are you a little inclined to enjoy? Yeah, I'm inclined. Not only inclined, I party hardy. Yeah, party hardy means you get hardy means like serious party. Yeah, I have a little inclination to enjoy. Inclination? I'm full bore, hardcore. Watch me now. I'm unleashed. Let loose. Untied. Hare Krishna. So the devotee, although he surrendered, he's not a pure devotee, so until we're pure, then the impurity, which prevents us from being pure, is our tendency to enjoy, inclination to enjoy false happiness of this material world. The Lord, therefore, creates a particular situation tailor-made for you. Oh, you want to love me and you want to come to the spiritual world, but you still want to dibble and dabble in the material enjoyments? Okay, I'm going to make a special situation for you. It's not like nobody else has got this situation I have. This is there and this is here and I'm this and that. Very exact. Tailor fit, not ready-made clothes. Tailor-fit situation by the expert karmic tailor, let's say expert devotional tailor, Sri Krishna. A particular situation to eradicate the remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness, which comes about by that particular arrangement or situation, suffered by a sincere devotee, is not technically a karmic reaction. Rather, it is a love slap from the Lord of love. Praying Purushottam Sri Krishna Ki. Sometimes a mother slaps her child. Is that anger? No, it's love. But when a badmash slaps you, is that love? That's vicious anger. He may be, if he kills you, no loss. He doesn't care. So Maya slaps the non-devotees. It's a result of their own foolishness. So they're getting slapped by the prison warden. But when we get slapped, we get slapped by the king. Not the prison. Maya's a prison warden of the material world, and she's slapping and beating all the miscreants and demons. But sometimes the king enters the prison. Oh, you're a special prisoner. So we're prisoners to some extent, but we're the king's prisoners. We're special prisoners. The king of all kings has taken our file into his consideration. So he's going to give us amnesty. Amnesty, which means forgiveness, and release us from our prison term very, very quickly. It is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home. Going back to God, back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back home, back to Godhead, back to the Lord's abode. So, if you're not earnestly desiring to go back to God, that means that you're not a sincere devotee. you're a devotee. Yeah, you want to go back? Yeah, if I go, it's okay. But I got a nice house, and family's nice. I got big money, and I got a lot of things to do. I don't mind going back. It's not a bad idea. A sincere devotee earnestly desires. Therefore, he is willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words, and body. Such a bona fide servant, all these adjectives are really important, bona fide servant, earnest devotee, sincere devotee, such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he certainly becomes a legitimate son of the Lord, as indicated by Dayabak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the supreme pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory ceremony, process. It's not like fasting on juices and fruits and mung dal all day. It's just eating honey water. That's a rigid fast, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Very beautiful language the God brothers have used, really carrying on the tradition of eloquence which Prabhupada so beautifully established in his Bhaktivedanta purports. Because Prabhupada gave the purports up to chapter 13, and after that these are given by his disciples. So I think it's extremely eloquent and very potent language and choice of words. Curative treatment administered by the personal hand of God. Because this particular purport, although they're saying it's Sridhar, a lot of it is also coming from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, which is in Sarta Darshani. And sometimes Vishnu is also repeating Sridhar Swami, or otherwise adding very interesting and new ideas to it all. So we'll stop here. This purport of text 8, and by the mercy of Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Purushottam Sri Krishna Giridhari, we'll speak on some more of the commentaries from Sarta Darshini and Srila Prabhupada's illumination on verse 8. Tateno kampam susanikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapurbir viradhan namaste jivete yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Shri Brahmaji ki jai, Shri Brahmastuti ki jai, Shri Purushottam Vrata ki jai, Shri Vaishnava Rajasabha ki jai, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.